Welcome to a case closed review from ReverseThieves.com. In these short podcasts, we discuss our final thoughts on anime that finished up in the most recent season.
This time, we're wrapping up Review Starlight from Kinema Citrus, which is streaming on HIDIVE.
This is about a group of girls at a theater school. So there's different programs. Some are for actresses who want to be on the stage. Some programs are for being behind the scenes. But we're following the latest class who all of them want to be the top star of the group. And every year they put on the same play, which is called Review Starlight. And each class sort of brings their own vision to the script. Sort of like a, you know, like Shakespeare. Everybody does it, but everybody does it a different way or something, so.
And at first, it seems like an idol show, only with a theater company as opposed to music. And I remember we had a bit of a hard time talking about the first episode, because you get a big surprise at the end of it as you realize, oh, this is going Utena style, and there are stage battles and mysterious wackies going on, and it is much more than just an idol show.
So we're following kind of closely Karen, who is this very energetic individual who is, you know, aiming for the top like everybody else, but doesn't seem very cutthroat or anything like that. And she has made a promise with her friend from childhood named Hikari that they will kind of meet again on the stage. They will both become stars together. And so she's been absent for many, many years because she is in England and she has lost contact with her. But she comes back mysterious transfer student style. And as Al said, there's also then that component of there is an underground stage battle fight club
run by a giraffe, and you have to beat your fellow actresses in these battles that, of course, have Utena-like duel songs, and whoever comes out on top gets the lead role.
But it's sort of this mysterious like, what you are attaining is sort of mysterious. Like, yes, you will be number one, but what does that really mean? And they say that you will, you know, sort of, like, get your heart's desire or your wish. And this is also kind of paralleling the play that the group is putting on. And we find out, you know, more about all the other girls in the program and how they sort of fit in to the battle system. And they all have kind of, some of them have like secrets of their own that are tied into what's been happening at the school. And so obviously we've kind of spoiled the first episode of this, but I don't think we can really do a case closed review without at least saying that much about the story. And we won't spoil the ending or exactly, I don't want to just, you know, go into too many specifics, but there's a lot to talk about more broadly, I think, about the show. It was kind of a question at the beginning. Al sort of made the Utena comparison. I think a lot of people did that. And it was, but it was, okay, but is it going to, is that like an aesthetic thing? Is that a superficial thing that the story will have, or is it going to dig deeper into, you know, more dark themes and ideas of that are just like a bit more complex than we want to be the star and we're going to fight in duels. Like, Utena isn't about duels, even though there's a lot of them. They're symbolic of things. So, you know, was this going to have a similar feel or not?
You know, I might as well just answer it now and you can agree or disagree, but I feel as if the ultimate problem and the thing about Review Starlight is that it's more than fluff, but less than Utena, which puts it in an odd position. And a lot of it depends on essentially how much you can separate it out from Utena. I mean, if you've never seen Utena or have no, like, attachment to it, I think you go into the show very differently than people who are expecting this to be the second coming of Utena, especially with that first episode. Because there is more to the episodes. There is a lot of examination about stories and storytellers. A lot of the episodes do have a thing where the characters come in both with a personal problem, but also something that either speaks to the entertainment industry or the way stories are told. And they have at least some sort of revelation or character growth because of the fight they have. And then there's even greater themes touched upon with the finale and stories and entertainment, especially when, in a way, you kind of see what the giraffe symbolizes. So it's not that there's nothing there. I think that's important to say. But it's nowhere as, even with all that said, it's nowhere as hefty as a kind of multi-layered and also very socially critical that Utena or even maybe a Princess Tutu would have. And so you could see it as, oh, that was fun. And it was more than cotton candy. It took more than just those aesthetics and tried to put it on, you know, just some nice aesthetics. But it can fall short if you want it to be at a certain very high level.
I agree with you, Al. I think that there was a lot to dig into. And I thought that they did an interesting job of trying to tie characters, like weapon or way of fighting, into sort of whoever they were or their backstory and sort of what that symbolized to them. So I do think that it was trying to go the extra mile. The other thing that I can't really answer as somebody who doesn't really watch idol shows is how much of subverting of the genre did it do? And I feel as though, from a very unnuanced perspective, as someone who is not that familiar with that stuff, to me it seemed like it that it was doing that and commentating on some of that idol mania, sort of.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want to say definitively, like, it's the one that really commentated, because there could be other ones that I just, since that's not really my wheelhouse. But I thought that those aspects were interesting, especially in the end. I think that those things come up a lot for it to be critical. I will say that I can't decide whether the thing I'm about to say, whether I liked this about it or not, but I did feel as though the show frequently would seem like it was about to go to a really dark place, and then it would pull back from doing that. And again, I think that could be a subversion of a lot of, because we, not necessarily idol shows, but, you know, there has been sort of a string of dark magical girl shows. So it could also be trying to subvert that a little bit by thinking that it's going to go to a very different place and then being, like, kind of swerving and being, I think, a lot of times, it's like a subversion of a subversion, because magical girl shows, like, a lot of them have a lot about friendship, right? And then the dark magical girl shows are like, there's death and there's secrets and everything. And then I feel like in here, you have some of that, but then you also, ultimately, it's about friendship. Every time it feels like it's going to a dark place, it's like, oh, wait a minute, no, my friends are more important. Like, I value them, and I will immediately, like, get to, or not immediately, but I will get to a place that's, like, about that. Instead of, at times I really thought, you know, oh my god, that girl is gonna kill that girl and, like, leave her in a closet. And then it'd be like, no, that's, but it made you, but I don't think that was just me. Like, I feel like it was, I feel like you could either see that as being inconsistent with its tone or doing it on purpose. Based on the ending, I choose to believe that was done purposefully. So I feel like there was enough to dive into. And I think I said this on the SWAT review of the show. If you are going to compare every anime that tries to do anything to Utena, everything's going to lose. Like, it's going to lose. Don't bother. Just stop watching anime now.
I mean, even Ikahara has had that problem where I feel, as much as I think we both enjoyed and got a lot out of Penguin Drum.
Penguin Drum is brilliant, y'all. Like, it is.
But, like, people are like, oh, Penguin Drum is good, but it wasn't Utena. And then Yuri Bear Storm. I feel like there's people who got a lot out of Yuri Bear Storm, and then a lot of people who are like, man, I remember when Ikahara was good.
Without turning this into an Ikuhara podcast, I got a lot out of Yuri Bear Storm, but I still also had a lot of problems with it.
Yeah, so, yeah. Like, I feel like even he has not gotten up to the great heights and just like that lofty position that is Utena. So, and he's really like a unique director. I feel like you said, if you want every show that tries to be like atmospheric and symbolic and kind of have a little bit of deeper storytelling to be Utena, you're going to have a bad time, my friend. You're only going to occasionally get a Princess Tutu that kind of gets into that same realm.
And I think that this series also has like a pretty clipped pace. You know, it's only 12 episodes, so I think you get a lot out of those 12. And things that I wrote down that I was thinking about while I was watching it, like, hey man, this audition thing is shady as fuck. Like, why is no one questioning this? But it happens, but I think maybe there's like, I believed in patience in this instance. It was only 12 episodes. That was the amount of time in which they had to question sort of like, why are we doing this? What does it mean? Why do we accept what is happening necessarily?
So I have one question before we have any final thoughts, which is, I don't want to go into it. You clearly don't, but there is a game changer that we learn about one of the characters and the effect they've had on all of these, which changes a lot of perspective on that character, about the duels, the whole system. And do you think that they waited too long or didn't have... Because I feel like there was a certain number of people who thought they waited too long to have a reveal like that.
I feel like it's one of those reveals where I would have to go back and sort of see, was there enough foreshadowing lead up mm-hmm. to it? Because I think something like that, you don't want it to feel like an asshole, but it doesn't ultimately super matter anyway, mm-hmm. even if it, you know what I mean? Like, obviously it's important because it's important to that character, but I feel like ultimately it doesn't really affect the outcome of the story. Like, it's more about that character and their story than the overall plot of the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see what you're saying.
I hope we're talking about the same thing.
Yeah, no. I think we are. I feel like there was a certain thing that this is where the show got interesting. Even if it was a bit of a cul-de-sac. It kind of, in a way, that character's story was a cul-de-sac, but it kind of transitioned in the second half in a way that I wonder if people thought, essentially the first shoe drop, major shoe drop, there are a lot of little ones, is the ending of the first episode, and the second one is that story.
Mm. And I think the third one, I don't know why, this creature has three legs and not two, but I think there is a third one, which is sort of like a little more about Hikari's backstory. Mm-hmm. I think that's also a pretty significant piece of the puzzle for our three-legged anime creature. So how satisfied were you with the ending?
I thought it resolved the story they were telling pretty well. It is a Bushiroad production, so in a way, I feel like they make stuff to be franchisable. And so there was still enough of this world in place that they could tell other stories if this was popular. Not necessarily with these characters, but with other characters in this review Starlight system, in a way. I don't feel like it was utterly like, bum, 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 next time on Review Starlight as well. Like, if it ended here, I don't think you'd be like, man, that was a dumb place to end it.
I was fairly impressed with the end because I wasn't always 100% on board with the show. Not that I disliked it, but I was being very critical, I think, or being cautious about how much I expected from it. And I thought that the end really tried to tie things in together. Mm-hmm. And like we said, I think it pushed a little more commentary on what the concepts of the story of the series overall, like trying to like bring those really to the forefront and explain just a couple of little things. And it does a good job of not trying to explain what the frick is going on, like, and this is why all of these people are here and have powers, and this is why this thing is, you know, I feel like it does a good job of, no, this is just like a mysterious sort of magical realism thing. We don't need to over-explain how this works exactly.
You mean you didn't want 6 episodes on the Drift's backstory?
Or like the magical system involved in this? I thought that they, you know, I guess I felt like they did a good job of keeping it mysterious and not worrying too much about those sorts of things. And ultimately, I think it has a happy ending. So, like, I feel like it definitely exceeded my expectations at the end.
It's a good show if you let it be itself and let it tell the story it wants to tell, as opposed to the story maybe you need it or want it to tell.
I think I would kind of be more disappointed with this series, though, if it's a big franchise.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like that's not against what its messaging is, but it also feels like it would feel really weird. Mm-hmm. But whatever, you know. It is. I mean, it is going to be a mobile game, and
yeah, no, that's why. That's why I felt like I said that. I felt like there were still mechanisms in place for other stories to be told in this world. And if anything, I think it's a little commendable that the director told a very complete story in a way that didn't be like, and now get the mobile game for the real stories or the other stories. Those might come, but the anime almost seems unconcerned with them. It wants to tell this one story about these two girls and the rest of their school and kind of that, you know, that one play that they're based around.
Thanks for listening to another episode. You can visit us online at reversethieves.com and follow us on Twitter @ReverseThieves, @NartakiRT, and @HisuiRT.